Right Heart. I'm Erin Franco, a Catholic wife and mother of three. I blog at humblehandmade.com and I podcast in my loads of spare time because I'm a little crazy. My hubby, Michael, is holding down the fort at home tonight while I am here interviewing our beautiful guest, our Texan guest tonight, and I'm so excited to have her. By the way, you are listening to episode 14 of The Right Heart. My guest today is Amanda Perales. She's a wife and mother of three as well, who blogs at Erring on the Side of Love, which is at thesideoflove.com. Before she and her husband decided to have her leave the workforce to be home full-time with their children, Amanda earned a master's degree, and she did interpreting for a while and also worked in mental health for a number of years. Amanda has such a heart for the saints, you guys. I think we were talking before the show that most of the posts on Erring on the Side of Love have some kind of saint quote or saint in the post in some way. And Amanda is really the perfect person to dive into the who, the what, the where, and the why of our holy saints and the treasure that they are for us in the Catholic Church. So welcome to the show, Amanda.
Hello.
So, you know, guys, saints are a topic that I think a lot of listeners will take in a few different ways. So you're either going to be gung-ho about the saints and you have all of your favorites and you named all of your children each of, you know, after your two favorite saints for each one, or you may not know much about those saints at all, even if you grew up Catholic like I did. Because I think especially more of the modern saints just didn't seem to make it into my education, even though I went to Catholic schools all my life. And I think also there's a third group of listeners who are those people who may not be entirely comfortable with the idea of the saints and really what their proper place is in our relation to Christ and in heaven. So, Amanda, I wanted to first start off the episode on the saints by putting out there kind of some of the basics about how to relate to the saints and who they are.
Yeah, you know, I think my journey kind of fell in during college. I kind of started learning more about the church, and I delved into just the richness that it provided. And in doing so, I just discovered this treasure, like you called it, of just amazing holy people that have gone before us. And it was just so encouraging and inspiring because, you know, when you're learning about your faith and when you're constantly in conversion and falling more in love with Christ, sometimes direction, you just can feel sort of lost. And knowing that there's these beautiful people, men and women of all walks of life, that have written and shared their hearts and their love for God is just really just something awesome to stand on. So I know that that's kind of how I started learning more about them. And, you know, the scriptures are sprinkled with different ways that we can connect to them. And as well, they, you know, share prayer and love for us.
I know they have in, I think it's in Hebrews in scripture where it refers to the cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. So referring to the saints, and it refers to really the kind of three things. So the example of this cloud of witnesses, it refers to their writings that they've left behind for us that we can study and we can use them as an additional resource to learn how to live a holy life, learn how to relate to God, learn about God. And then also their prayers today. So their intercessory prayer, because you got to know if somebody was close to Christ on earth, they are definitely close to Christ in heaven. So I guess one question I wanted to ask you, Amanda, if you could kind of clarify that idea of intercession and how we can ask a saint to pray for us, and maybe why wouldn't we just go to Jesus, as is a very good question.
I'll start off with this scripture that I just think is so beautiful. It's in Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense rose with the prayers of the saints from the hand of the angel before God."
Oh, beautiful.
That visual, all the prayers of the saints mingled with the smoke of the incense rising in prayer before God. I mean, that in itself, just knowing that their presence and just how beautiful that is in their most pure form, you know, in heaven, in the presence of God, sharing our hearts and our requests for intercession, right? So when I think of intercession, you know, for the longest time growing up, people would pray for each other. And in Scripture, you know, we're called to pray for each other. We're called to intercede for each other on behalf of each other. St. Paul repeatedly asks all the people that he was writing to pray for him and intercede for him, and that he would do the same in return for them. And this is something that we know of. You know, we ask our friends to pray for us. We ask our loved ones to pray for us. This is something that Christ asked us to do. You know, he asked us to pray for those who persecute us. So just in that, asking each other as Christians, followers of Christ, those who love Christ, those who love God and want to be closer with God and to know him more, asking all of this community for prayers, why wouldn't we ask the same community that has gone before us?
Well, I know St. Therese has a quote that she said before she passed away, and she said, "I cannot wait to spend my heaven doing good on earth." And it's kind of that idea going back to St. Paul, like what you just said, all of the people St. Paul was asking to pray for him, he didn't know, and they didn't know him personally. And so it's in that sense, that's kind of what we're doing with the saints in heaven, even though we may not know St. Ignatius Loyola or St. Mm-hmm. Maximilian yeah. Kolbe or whoever it is, we can still ask them to pray for us in a more general way.
Yes, definitely. And the nice thing is, because a lot of these saints have stories, so we're able to somewhat get to know them. A little time is taken here and there, which is also neat, because through that relationship builds, you know, you get to know a saint just the same way you get to know your friends here on earth, because they left these little paper trails of their journey, which is just so good for us.
Yeah, it's so helpful. It's like there's kind of a saint for everything that you can think of. I mean, there really isn't any struggle that we can go through that a saint who is a canonized saint, I will bet you, hasn't been through before us. I know I was actually at the Adele conference a few weeks ago, and mm-hmm. I met this wonderful woman there, and we got to talking, and she shared with me that she really struggles in her marriage with her spouse being unsupportive and difficult in a lot of ways. And it just popped in my head, oh, so you must have a devotion to Saint Monica, right? And she mm-hmm. said, Saint who? And I said, oh, Saint Monica. You don't know about Saint Monica. And yeah. so I got to share the story of this amazing woman, Saint Monica, who struggled with an angry, unsupportive spouse who was difficult in many ways. Mm-hmm. And she literally, this woman had tears in her eyes. She was so excited mm-hmm. that she had somebody to go read about her life, to be inspired by, and to just kind of be given that hope that there is grace and faithfulness over many years of struggle.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, definitely. I mean, and even just the way that experience happened, you know, the saints present themselves, the Holy Spirit guides us and shares these stories so that it's almost like God saying, hey, you know, it's okay. You know, this happens, and there's grace, and there's healing, and there's more. It doesn't just stop there. Just by sharing these amazing stories of these amazing people that have gone before us.
Yeah.
And live so faithfully.
Amina, what can you tell us to kind of answer the question, how do the saints relate to Christ? So, or do they take away from Christ in any way? I think a lot of people have a good question that, you know, why wouldn't we just go straight to Christ? Are we like worshiping the saints? Or, you know, what is the difference between venerating them and honoring them, or ask, you know, praying to them, as is the term that a lot of people use. So can you kind of unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah, I think with translation, right, mm-hmm. through everything, you know, everything gets lost, right? Over the times, history, and I mean, just just any words that used to be used in old language that we don't use in English. I know I've heard a lot of people question, you know, do you worship saints? And it, you know, that always sounded so funny to me, you know, because for me, worship is this huge experience that is only for God, right? Mm-hmm. I've never associated that with the saints. But I think the term, the word worship has kind of just become very broad.
Yeah.
It's kind of changed over the years. And it's something that we lose, you know, in the language. But back then, they had different terms for different people. They had Christian theology. They used Greek words like latria, which was the one that was specifically for God, this word that meant to worship and honor God alone. And then they had a term, dulia, which was honoring human beings, especially those who lived and died in God's friendship, i.e. the saints. And then they had another word called hyperdulia, which was beyond dulia, right, when translated. And that was actually used for Christ's mother, because she was considered to be honored above the saints, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so these words really kind of can set the tone for confusion now, right? Because we don't have these, you know, specific language anymore. It's much more, you know, broad, and the words just, we don't have words for that anymore.
I think this is any religion or group, you're always going to have people who take things a little bit too far. And,
right.
And I think there's kind of the classic image of like the little old lady or the very fervent, you know, parishioner who throws holy medals at people and, you know, just goes really overboard. And so you can have it where you're not, I guess, doing it right or thinking about it right. And sometimes it's just, you know, people are a little weird. Like, you know, they're just like, that's just their personality, and you have to take them where they are. But there is a right way to think about the saints. And just with any religion, you have to give it, you have to go back to what the religion says it teaches. And that for Catholics, that's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you read about the saints in the Catechism, it's very straightforward and very simple and very Christ-centered, with everything in Catholicism. Everything points to Christ. You know, we have such a rich tradition of devotions and chaplets and different prayers and all of these things that you can do. But it all points to Christ if you're doing it correctly and well and with a right heart. And it's the same thing with the saint. If you've seen anybody be a little weird about the saints or whatever, they're not doing it right. But God bless them, and God bless them, and thank goodness they're getting something out of them, and you know, they are drawn closer to God, hopefully somehow, you know. So Amanda, what are some of you and your family's favorite saints? And do you have any kind of cool stories about how you learned about the saints, or even special like graces that you received through their prayers?
Definitely. So I've always had a little love for St. John the Apostle.
Okay.
John the Beloved. His gospel was one of my favorites, you know, growing up. And We moved early on in our marriage, and so when you move, it's hard to find friends and find community, and you're always worried if you're gonna find that community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, lo and behold, like, I'd say 2 months into our move, I saw a friend from college, and she, you know, we reconnected really quick and invited us to a Bible study, and so we were like, sure, of course. And so then started this Bible study with six other families, and we're just so blessed abundantly with friendship.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's been such a blessing. And then I had a couple other friends that just blessed me abundantly with just a group of female friendships. And it was just amazing because, you know, this was just something that my husband and I were seeking. You know, we were really, really desiring community for our family, for our future children. And so then here comes our youngest, and, you know, we really wanted to honor the saint. And it wasn't until after did I realize that St. John the Beloved was the patron saint of friendship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so I just, you know, when I stumbled across that, I just laughed because I was like, you've been here all along praying for us. That's one little story of a saint. There's so many, to be honest.
Oh, really? Well, what about any female saints?
Yes. I love many of the female saints. During grad school, St. Gianna Beretta Moya.
Oh, yeah. I have a Gianna in my house, my youngest.
Yes. I read her love letters to my husband, I think.
Oh, yeah. They're so beautiful.
And it was just so beautiful. And at that time, I was still single. And I had such hope in her life, like reading about it, because, you know, she was a doctor. She was a pediatrician. You know, she had a beautiful family. She met a wonderful, wonderful man. And she didn't meet him until she was 28, I want to say. And, you know, she was still able to have this large, beautiful family. And marriage and family were on my heart for a while. And so reading about her and, you know, the age that she met her husband and married and the beautiful life they lived together was just so hopeful for me and gave me such peace. I'm like, God can do anything whenever his time is right. Mm-hmm. And I just need to trust in that.
You know, Amanda, it's funny that you mentioned St. Gianna because, as I just said, my youngest is Gianna. Uh-huh. Therese is my youngest. And the reason why we named her after Gianna was because basically was me telling Michael I really thought we should name her that. Because every picture that I saw of St. Gianna is kind of the one that you'll see a lot if you Google her is the one where she's holding all of her children or like a couple of them on top of a mountain and she's looking away and she just looks so brave and happy and peaceful. And I was about to have my third baby. I'm drowning in two very close together before the third one. And I'm like, If she can do it, I can do it.
I know. There's so many wonderful women saints. Saint Therese of Lisieux is a very popular and beautiful one who always is calling us to just the simplicity of just love and the excitement and joy, the childlike spirit of loving God in her little ways. Everything counts, you know, which in motherhood, I need to hear that because sometimes I just feel like I'm drowning in the little things and I'm just, it's hard to see where everything's going. So a lot of times what the saints do for me is they just give me perspective and they tell me this is good. This is this right here. The now where you are feeding your child, potty training or changing another diaper. This is good and it's where you need to be. And I think for me, transitioning from working to becoming a mom was, it was challenging in ways I didn't expect. During college and grad school and just single life, I was always able to spend so much time in prayer and at mass and at daily mass and at adoration.
Oh, yes.
And then going from
I know where
that,
this is going.
Yeah.
That was me too.
To not being able to have that, I felt lacking. Like, I'm like, you know, my spiritual life is just nowhere where it needs to be. I'm not spending time with Christ. I'm not doing this one-on-one time that just I loved and was, I know was pleasing to him. And so like having to reframe what was still pleasing to him because he asks me to be obedient in his will and in his presence. And that's all the time, right? And so All the saints, they always remind us of that. I know St. Frances of Rome, she's a married saint.
Oh, I love her too.
Saint. Yeah. And she says, a married woman, when called upon, must quit her devoting to God at the altar.
That's it.
Right. Okay. A married woman, when called upon, must quit her devoting to God at the altar to find him in her household affairs. And that, when I read that, I just started crying.
Yeah.
When I read that for the first time, I cried because, we always know that Jesus is in our presence and that we just always have to look up. It's just, you know, whenever I'm always looking down and in the hustle of it, I just, it's so easy to lose sight of that. That gave me so much peace and so much perspective, and just kind of helped ease that transition for me. And so many other married saints, St. Francis de Chantal, you know, another married saint,
I think we have
beautiful.
The same taste in saints. I'm pretty sure, Amanda, because these are all of my favorites, too.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's wonderful. And she calls us to the simplicity. And she tells us, don't worry about prayer. Don't worry about your words. Just the simplicity of raising your mind to God is all he asks.
Yeah.
And just even in that, like, yes, it's so true. You know, why do I complicate things so much?
Yeah. You know, my favorite quote from her is, do what God asks of you in this moment and leave the thought of all the rest to him.
Yeah.
How awesome is that for a mom, for anybody who has all kinds of things on their mind, and for really for women, I think, because everything is connected and we're thinking about five things at once and it's hard for us to be present. And so that quote was such a good reminder for me to be more present to my family and not be worrying about our financial situation or my marriage or this other broken relationship, and to be present and let God work on people's hearts, work on my heart, and work all things together for my good in the background while I was doing what he needed me to do in that moment.
And even in the little prayers, like the little whispers that I say throughout my day, my son's been sick for the last month, so we've been dealing with that. And St. Faustina, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. It's kind of, it gets down to like, that's the only thing I can say right now. And Mother Teresa, Mary, Mother of God, be a mother to me now. These prayers, that prayer I clung to the first year of life for both of these boys. I'm like, in the middle of the night, Mary, Mother of God, be a mother to me now. Like, please pray for me because it's hard.
Oh, I think, don't they call those aspirations, like those little prayers, those little little prayers to God during the day? I know I love Saint Jose Maria, and I did a lot with Opus Dei when I lived in Houston, and so I just got to hear a lot of that rich, like, everyday practical advice that he gave. And one of them is to pray those little aspirations and just lift your heart just very briefly to God all during the day whenever it comes to mind. And those little prayers are the perfect example of what an aspiration is, I think.
Yes, definitely.
So do you have maybe one or two more saints that have been very special to your family, maybe during a time of trial in particular?
Yes. Speaking of saints, saints for everything, right?
Yeah.
Back in August, I injured my lower back. I herniated two lower discs, and it was the most excruciating pain. I couldn't walk. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't do anything. And so I was in bed just crying in pain because it was extremely painful and just scared. Like, I need to be able to function, to be a mom, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of just in rambles at the time. And so the first thing I did, I just started like Googling like patron saints of people with back pain, you know, like people with back injuries. And I stumbled across Saint Gemma Galgini. I don't know if I'm saying
her name right. Yeah. Saint Gemma. I think it's Galgani.
Okay.
I'll have it on the show notes correctly spelled. I promise.
Okay. Yeah. I just wasn't sure how to pronounce. So Saint Gemma Galgani, she suffered terrible back pain in her years, and just being able to find that, I mean, she had a metal back brace that went from her waist up through her neck for almost a year and a half, and all she thought about was suffering and for Christ and loving him and being thankful so that she could unite her suffering with him for souls. Just being able to see that example of, again, perspective. Jesus, I trust in you. This is happening right now, and your grace is enough, and it's going to be okay. She lived a life of humor during suffering, and, I mean, her words are just inspiring.
I feel like what you're I feel like that's such a good example of, like we were saying, there's a saint for everything. And I think one thing that is so important when you want to raise, if you want to raise your children to have perspective and character and just be able to see when a problem is a big problem or a little problem, teach them about the saints. Make that part of your home life. Live out the liturgical year and celebrate different saints. And, you know, when they're little, do coloring pages and do a special Polish dessert on Saint, you know, Pope John Paul II's feast day. And because you, whenever you grow up with a perspective that somebody made it through a really hard thing that you may never have to go through, and they did it with a sense of humor and they did it and they sanctified it, that really helps you be able to see anything God throws at you as united to Christ in that same way that those people did. And like I say with my kids, is this, do you need big tears for this or little tears for this? I say that all the time with my kids. So I love that. Do you have any special things that you do at home to teach your kids about the saints or your family's favorite saints?
We do. I mean, I was really good about it last year, and then things just got crazy this year, I feel like. But
yeah, there's so many. there's like a saint every day of the liturgical year that we can celebrate.
Yeah, so I know for St. Nicholas, you know, we laid out the boys' shoes in the morning, and I had painted these little saint dolls for them, and I, you know, they woke up and they had these little shoes filled with the saint doll. And
Oh, look at you.
And, you know, a new book on St. Nicholas and a DVD for St. Nicholas Live. And it's funny because St. Nicholas is definitely one of my son, my oldest son's favorites. I mean, he really, really, like, he will look for that one saint doll every time. So he really loves just the life of St. Nicholas. He sees how he was happy and joyful. And, you know, in the little cartoon that we saw, you know, it shows that he was imprisoned and that he struggled, but yet he still was so generous and so giving. And so I know that my son just kind of, like, loves seeing that joyfulness. And he's always just so sweet after he watches that little cartoon. And then, you know, we've talked about, you know, St. Francis of Assisi and St. Francis teaching the wolf story. He loves that. And sometimes when we're outside and I see a giant spider and I just want to step on it, he's like, no, St. Francis of Assisi wouldn't want you to step on that. I'm like, well, you know, I don't know necessarily, but...
And I wanted to say, too, I'm sure that you've seen this blog before, but they have this blog called Catholic Icing. She is, I don't know how she does it. She's just a guru of all things living the liturgical year and making adorable little crafts for all the different seasons and saints. And so she would be a great one that you could go to her site and Google St. Nicholas Day or Advent or St. Monica and come up with something cute to do, especially like one good thing to do with your children is if your children are named after a saint, which I think is wonderful and so encouraged by our church, by the way, which I didn't know. One thing you can do is celebrate the feast day of your children's patron saints. So I know at the minimum, I try to do that during the year. Like, for example, I have two out of the, oh my gosh, three or four archangels, but I have two of them
right now.
So on the feast of the archangels, my Gabriel and my Michael get like a special dessert at a minimum. And also we do at Halloween. So on All Saints Day, we do like get together with a group of friends and we have a party, but all the kids dress up as a different saint instead of like a Halloween costume. And that's a really fun, nerdy, and a really cool Catholic way thing to do.
I love that. Yeah. My sons were St. George's Dragon and St. Paolo, I think it was, the kitchen saint.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so cute.
It was really cute. Yeah, we also have celebrated the archangels, and we did a fun craft, and they were running around with, like, little angel wings. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, and that makes... that day. That's so fun, too, that you can have that for your family. Just family traditions are so important, and I know my kids are still little, but that's something that I've talked to Michael, at least, that's is an important priority for me over the years, is to develop those kinds of things, because even secular research shows that families with strong traditions stay together, have closer relationships, adult children come back home more often. And I love that. So I'm really going to work for that in my family, you know, now and moving forward.
Yeah. Another website that I know I've used many times is Catholic Cuisine.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If you ever want almost any saint, just a dessert or a full meal or just anything, a drink, they have all these different saint-specific recipes listed, and you just go to their website, catholiccuisine.com, I'm pretty sure, and you just get in the search engine and you'll find something for whoever you're looking for, guaranteed. And another one that has a lot is Shower of Roses.
Oh, yes. I've heard of
some
all this,
really
too.
Beautiful feast day celebrations. I mean, just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So those are two that I've used many times in my young motherhood.
There's so much that you can do, and it's hard to rein yourself in sometimes and say, like, I can't be too ambitious. I need to do one thing for Advent. And you know what? That Jesse tree is going to have to wait a couple of years because it's not my season right now. And that's okay, because it's so easy to go on those sites and get really pumped up and fired up. But then practically speaking, we don't all have time to spend a lot of time doing crafts or special foods from scratch. And so just know that even one thing that you do, but do it well, is that makes a difference too. And that's something your kids will remember, rather than if you're super stressed out because you need to go to Hobby Lobby three times that week to get crafts done.
No. You know? Definitely. Even just talking about the stories. I mean, these are the heroes, you know, the superheroes that have gone before us. I mean, they're amazing, and they've lived heroic lives. And these are the heroes that I want my kids to grow up with, you know?
Yeah. Do y'all have Holy Hero CDs at your house?
We have a couple. My boys aren't there yet to listening to the DVDs. I think I tried a couple of times maybe last year. I could try again soon. But I think we have one, maybe two CDs.
Yeah, my oldest is almost six, but but I put them on in the car, and mostly I listen to them because my kids are six and under. But I do have several of them, and I think probably six or seven and up is what will really get a lot out of them. But man, the John Paul II one, it made me tear up listening to that one. It's a longer one, and as an adult listening to it, and you hear the depth and breadth of his story, it was beautifully done, and I really encourage that one. And then the Rosary CDs they make. Man, this is now a plug for the holyheroes.com people, but they have awesome stuff. But I love the Rosary ones because they have the children like say the different prayers, and so we did that for Lent this year. We only did it one time. Well, we only went once through the Stations of the Cross, but we listened to a little bit every night until like one station, like toward the end of Lent. And the kids really liked it. They liked the little kids' voices that came on, and then the reflections were, I think my oldest probably kind of got the reflections a little bit if he happened to like not be trying to kick his sister under the couch or something at that point. But Michael and I got a little bit out of it actually too. So anyway, there are just so many ways to teach your kids about the saints. It's such a great thing to do. We are coming up to, I think, kind of finishing up the episode here. But Amanda, I wanted to ask you if you had a final saint that you wanted to share with us, or a piece of advice about the treasure that are the saints and how they can kind of help us in our spiritual life.
I do. We have so many different walks of life that have gone before us. And sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in situations that we just never thought we would be in before, or, you know, whether you be in single life, married life, there's just so many different walks, and there's so many different feelings and places. And I guess, you know, one new that's up for, or is they're starting the investigation for a canonization. I know that there's been talk about the parents of Saint Therese of the
Yes.
It's Zelie and Louise. Okay, and so you have the parents, but another saint actually in the family that is also going to be investigated is Saint Leonie, which is her younger sister. And the reason I mentioned Saint Leonie is because I read a story. A priest friend gave me a book of about her in grad school, and it was beautiful for many reasons. It was beautiful because it didn't come easy to her. You know, she was known to be the more troubled child, right? Mm-hmm. In the Sioux family, and the one that the mother worried about the most. And she actually tried to enter convent life with her sisters three different times and was rejected three different times. And it wasn't until she was 32 or 34, somewhere in her early 30s, that she found the convent for her, the order for her. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, people that knew her in her order are just so surprised that she came, like, had a troubled upbringing, you know, that she mm-hmm. had these, you know, that she was the one that was, that gave their family more trouble because they found her to be a spirit of just such peace and light and love and just goodness. And that's just really hopeful for me, not only as a mother, you know, knowing her mother, right? St. Therese's mother, who, you know, had these three children that entered mm-hmm. you know, Carmelites and so easily. And obviously St. Therese, who's just spectacular and so wonderful in so many ways. But she also had little Leonie, you know, who wasn't sure of what her path was going to be, but she thought she knew, and she just kept going forward, you know, in love for God. And I love that, you know, I love that she kept going forward, and I love that she overcame her trials.
Mm-hmm. That it didn't come easily for her. Like she, you know, made a profession at 5 years old or something, like some of those really old saint biographies where you're like, that is kind of shortened version or paraphrased. I mean, that just kind of crazy. So yeah, that's awesome. So just like the idea that it didn't come easily for her. So it's easy to relate to her, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. How awesome.
And also it's hopeful because, you know, this woman who struggled and struggled for holiness in a way, you know, she found her place, she found herself, and she found and ended up living a life of great peace and, mm-hmm. and love for God. And I just love that because sometimes I feel like I'm just scrambling and I'm just like, what am I doing? Life is just crazy and spinning around me, and yet it's like, no, it's okay. You know, there's pruning, there's time. This is my path. This is my road, you know, and, you know, given the graces along that road, I will attain holiness and be sanctified one step at a time. You know, like it's not necessarily going to be something that I see. Oh, well, you know, St. Therese had this beautiful aspiration, beautiful thoughts towards God all the time at such a young age, and here I am, you know, 32, and I'm just kind of sometimes but it's just hopeful and encouraging. And so Sister Leonie, it's exciting, you know, to see saints again just from different places, different walks, that just encourage our journey to God, to holiness, to sanctification.
Absolutely. I wanted to say, as we're closing up the episode, that it says in Scripture very clearly, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So I think sometimes we can say, oh, our mess is beautiful and God likes us just how we are, and He knows that I'm just have a, you know, a loose temper, or that I'm always late or whatever. But God does call us to constantly work on ourselves our entire life. I don't think at any point in our lives can we say, oh, I am holy now.
Right.
You know,
right.
But we can know that we are on the right road. So we're sanctifying, we're letting His grace sanctify what we have and where we are, and And when we do meet him, I think it is a good prayer to say, let me be pleasing to you. Let me be holy mm-hmm. when I die, Lord. So, definitely. And then also I know just something I think we can't say enough, because even growing up in Catholic schools for 13 years, I never heard this until I went to college, but Lumen Gentium says all Christians are called to be saints. We are all called mm-hmm. to the fullness of Christian life and the perfection of charity. So sainthood is not for people who profess their vows at 5 years old or who wear a habit or clerics. There, yes. It's for everybody, for lay people too. And mm-hmm. I think there are 10,000 saints, or more than 10,000 canonized saints mm-hmm. in the Catholic Church. And you know what that should tell us? We can do this too. And there is somebody yeah. who has gone before who has had a crazy in-law or a terrible injury or, you know, difficulties here or there, difficult marriage, to wayward children, all of the, you know, terrible illness, all of those things. And
I think a lot. Dryness.
Yeah. Or even dry, like Mother Teresa, like with her dryness. Yes. I mean, it's so easy, I think, to get wrapped up in our problems and think that we are the most, you know, like we go inward and think that our pain right. is the worst that has ever been felt in all of history and of everyone mm-hmm. around us. But the saints mm-hmm. really call us to look outside of ourselves and to yes. get back into perspective. So I love that. I think it's so healthy to read biographies of the saints regularly. And I love how they do that in Magnificat too. They have a biography yeah. of the saint every day. Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. Man, we keep yeah. talking so long. I think it's me.
Yeah. I will say one more thing I do want to
share. Yeah, go for it.
One book that I just appreciate so, so much is The Fulfillment of All Desire. And it's written by Ralph Martin. It's a guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. And this book is just such a treasure. I mean, I cannot say enough about this book. Because it's beautiful and amazing the way he breaks down the lives of the saints in the different stages of spirituality, because it kind of shows like, oh, so they went through that too, or, oh, even during this time they were going through this, or, oh, is that what that means whenever they're at this point of spirituality? Like, this is amazing. It's really neat because it kind of breaks down different levels of spirituality, but it also like shows that even the most holiest of saints, they had their journey too. Mm-hmm. And it's really beautiful to see a breakdown of that and just their words just mingled and their wisdom mingled throughout it. He did an amazing job putting it together so that it can make sense for us.
Mm-hmm. You know? Wonderful. I'll definitely put that one in the show notes as well. So if any yeah. of you guys are out there and you've been trying to write down all of these saints' names and books and websites, I will have them in the show notes at therightheartpodcast.com. So, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on. You did a wonderful job with this topic, and it was fun to explore with you. I know I talked a lot, but I get really excited about the saints as well, and yeah. we would totally hang out if I lived in Texas still.
Yes, definitely. So,
I know you went to A&M, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was friends with the cool A&M girls when I lived in Houston. So I know your type, and I think we are yes. totally kindred spirits where the saints are concerned, because all of your favorites are mine too. Yes. Anyway, thanks for coming, and I hope to have you again sometime maybe.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, guys, if you loved what you heard today on the show, you can also follow me or follow the show, The Right Heart, on Facebook. You can follow me at Erin Franco on Twitter or check me out on Pinterest. I do happen to host some fun giveaways every once in a while on the blog or the podcast, so you won't find out about those unless you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, so that's kind of an incentive to go do that. Also, remember the show notes can be found at therightheartpodcast.com under the episodes button. So under the navigation bar, click on episodes and find the one that you're looking for. And then in like a blog post, I'll have all the links and things we talked about, which were for this episode, quite a few saints and books and blogs. All right, guys, abiding joy and true peace be with each of you and your families. And God bless you. Until next time.